Blog Talk Radio.
So good evening out there, my fellow listeners, Christian sisters and brothers all around the world. I say good evening to you. This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, and it's an honor to come into your homes and on your job with you today, or maybe just riding in your car, whatever it is. If you're even in the archives listening out, it is such an honor just to be in your life and just to share the Word of God with you. So that's all we're doing. We're just here together learning from the Lord, opening up ourselves as willing vessels to be used by the Holy Spirit, and just watching what He says and how He says it to us and how He looks at our individual lives and give us directions to go forward. Amen. That's the good news. So, you know, it's worth telling somebody about the good news. So much is going on today, and it may have been great things in your life and in your household, but your neighbor may have had a rough day today. They may need to hear the good news. So I remind you to just take a moment and just reach out to someone and let them know that the broadcast is airing right now, right now, right now. And you can also just call in if you would like. You can call in at 646-652-4916. You can also go into the chat room or always leave a message here on the blog talk if you want to reach out for any biblical information or literature, or if you want to just say a few words of comfort or concern or give a prayer request or whatever it is that you want to do. And we're available to you. We are available to you, and you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. And I'm pretty good at getting right back to you and corresponding with you. And so that's a good thing. So awesome job for all of the tips and words that are coming through. And we're just going to start today. We did on last broadcast, we went over about a focus tip that we're going to, I challenge each and every one of us to even try daily. So our first one was journal. We've talked about journaling many times on the broadcast, and it's a great thing every day to journal something that you did in your life. This is to help you. This is about one of the biggest things that just looking back on your life, this is just awesome to do. I encourage you to get started. You don't have to start with any big material. If you don't even have a book to journal in, you know, you can go to a 99-cent store, Family Dollar, or any place. You can even let me know in one of your emails, and I will just send you the information. Send you a journal just to get you started. Just writing down something about your day. Maybe the possibilities that you didn't think you had yesterday, that the doors was open today. Journal that. You know, maybe you were feeling a little down yesterday, and you feel yourself a little uplifted today. Journal that. Any opportunities in life that you find at the end of your day that were struggles for you today, journal those things. And then I ask you to take just a few more moments and just write a little letter to Jesus. Just write a letter to God. We're trying to get away from the popcorn prayers. You know, when I say popcorn prayers, I mean, you know, well, thank you, Jesus, and now lay me down to sleep. We're trying to get into a more closer relationship. That's not the things that you carry on. Look at your best friend or your friend or your person that you work with or someone that you speak words to every day or every time that you see them. You don't really do the popcorn conversations. I'm not talking about those that you just kind of pass by and throw your little salutations of, you know, good morning, Sue, good morning, John, good morning, Bobby. But the ones that you go to and you talk about a little bit about what was going on your weekend, what you plan to do this week, those things. You don't do popcorn conversations. You kind of get a little details with your conversation. And that's what we're wanting to do with our Christ. We're wanting to get into that relationship where we can have those kind of conversations with God. So in your journal, and if you could just take just a few moments and just write a letter to God, you know, have a thoughtful conversation with God. You know, dear God, I thank you for today. Dear God, this is what I did today, and this is what I was able to accomplish. Thank you, Jesus, for this or that. That's all that we're asking. So just make sure that you take out a little time to journal. And then our next one that we're going to move on to is just, you know, walk while you're praying. You know, moving in a forward motion often has the effect of keeping thoughts moving forward as well. So you may just want to, wherever you're at in your prayer closet, you may just want to just walk forward or walk backwards, just walk a little bit while you're praying. You know, sometimes you're standing still and you get stuck in that motion. I also encourage you to get on your knees. It's not only a sign of us being humble before the Lord, but it is also sometimes can be kind of a little painful on our knees, which reminds us why we're there in the first place. That life is painful without us reaching up. We can't do it anything without Him. That we need to stay in before Him in His presence in order to get His guidance to ease our pains in this troubled world. Amen? Amen. And then we're going to move forward with one more, and it's pray with a prayer partner. You know, you can even Skype daily to pray with a person who is far away. You need to find someone that you can pray with. Just knowing that someone else is there and is listening, and is usually enough to keep most of us on track, knowing that someone is waiting there. They know that you're expected to be in prayer today at this time or at some time today. That's usually enough to keep us on the track of developing a habit of praying. Amen? Okay, that's our focus tips for right now. We will continue on the next broadcast with focus tips. So we want to make sure that you are understanding those and going forth with those. Amen? Amen. God bless us all. Well, again, you are my faithful listeners. You are so precious to me in so many ways. And I just love hearing some of the things that you just talk about or some of the things that you take all the little tips that are given to you. And some of us are just so open to the Lord. And that is such a blessing that you can just reach out and say, God, here I am, you know. God, I love you. I want to do the things that you're saying. And when we come to the broadcast, you're so right, as some of you have said in your emails, we are all here together. And that's why we always ask ourselves to, God, push us back. Make sure that we do decrease. It's our desire that we decrease. We want you to just increase in our lives, just overpower us in our lives. Amen? That's what we want to do. That's where we want to be with you. Not just now, but in all times, always. Amen. All times and all ways of our lives. We want you to be the head of our lives. We want you to be in control of our thoughts, in control of our lives. Amen. Well, we're going to start with our prayer, and then from our prayer, we're going to go right into our scripture, shall we? We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power, your joy, and your peace and understanding. We thank you for all that you are and all that you say and all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for peace right now, dear Father. Peace right now. I thank you, dear Father, for coming and being a part of this ministry, being a part of all the listeners and their lives and everything that we have, that we can lay it down to you and we can be stress-free. We don't have to walk around stressed out. We thank you for another opportunity just to come and learn from you. And now we ask that we decrease and may you increase in our lives, in our cars, in our homes, on our jobs, in our families' minds, near and far, at no distance, just separate us from you, dear Father. And dear Father, with your fear and trembling, the voices of those that are calling out, we ask that you just remind them, dear Father, that you're always there. Give them the comfort that they're looking for and the peace that they're needing so much, dear Father. And we thank you for your joy and your power and for your understanding all the things that you have done. We say thank you. All the things that you're going to do for us, dear Father, in advance, we say thank you, Jesus. Can you just say thank you? I say thank you, Jesus. And then for all the things that you're doing for us right now, making a way out of no way, hallelujah, moving the death, hurt, harm, and danger out of our ways right now, I say thank you. I say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us for our sins. And may we learn to teach ourselves and teach others how to forgive those that do harm against us, sin against us, trespass against us. In your precious name, we open ourselves up as willing vessels, and we accept your Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. And amen and amen. Amen.
Our first scripture is going to come from Philippians 2 and 12. Philippians in the New Testament, 2 and 12. And then just the second part of that, we're going to go in reverse and go to next door, just look at something in Ephesians. So if you want to go ahead and get your finger on Ephesians 4, we're going to be starting around verse 22 and going to 24. But again, we're going to start with Philippians 2, and let's start with 12. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act accordingly to his good purpose. Amen, amen. And then we're going to jump back over, just put it in reverse, and we're just going to back up and go over to Ephesians, and we're going to do Ephesians 4, 22. And Ephesians 4, 22 reads, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. You know, like many of you, at one point, I thought that the Bible had a mission to work out our salvation with fear and trembling that we just read about in Philippians 2 and 12. But it meant getting my actions right, you know, just getting all my ducks in a row. You know, pray harder, maybe live a little holier, maybe love a little deeper. Maybe that's what the meaning of the fear and trembling, you know, working out my salvation with fear and trembling. You know, a soul could do worse than to pursue those ends, you know, being all of those, praying harder, living a little holier, loving a little deeper. Those are all great things that we all have to prosper from doing. Yet as Christ has worked in me, often in spite of me, but still working in me, I've learned that the end goal of my workout salvation, it is what I do. That's whom I am becoming. You know, as I grow with him, it's who I'm becoming. You know, lay aside the old stuff, it says. You know, Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. If we look at that and we read the letters that he was writing to the church, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on your new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now that's what we just read in Ephesians, correct? So now Paul was saying these same words here, writing the letters to the people that was doing, being caught up in lust and deceit. And this is what he was saying. Put off, said be renewed in your mind. And put on your new self once you've been renewed in your mind. You gotta get your mind right. There's so many things that you'll be thinking one thing and the enemy can just put another word in your mind. And while you're trying to speak the truth, but and slip right in there on you if you don't watch out. Because your mind, if your mind ain't concentrated, if your mind hasn't been dedicated over to the Lord, you got to continue. God, watch my mind. Place my helmet of salvation on it. Because I want my mind to be right. I want to be saved from all of the demonic things, thoughts that may come through. I want you to be the watchguard, to just sit here on my mind, and if thoughts can come in and out of my mind, if it's not of you, direct it right out. Amen? If it's not of you, don't allow it to sit there and take a place in my mind. Flush it straight out. And then cover me with your anointing. that I may live in a life of discernment. Amen? That I may be able to watch out and pray as a living life. So I want to be able to put off my old stuff. It may not be just something from years ago. It may be something yesterday you were struggling with. Today we may need to put off that. That's something of the old now. That's something of the past. And I want to renew in the spirit of my mind and put on my new stuff. And when I put on my new stuff, now I'm saying I want to be more like you, God, and I'm walking in that. See, the new stuff, again, my sisters and brothers, it's when you're wearing the likeness of God. It's then when he can look in the fire and he sees himself in us. Amen? His holiness, his righteousness of truth, of truth. Working on our salvation isn't about getting our actions right. So much as getting me right. Getting me right. Who am I is the question to be asked. Who am I called to be is the question to be asked. See, the world calls us to be so many things. And our seduction begins at a young age with the world. You know, I know a teacher who tried an experience with his middle schoolers, and he gave half the classroom red armbands to wear. And then the other half, he gave blue armbands to wear. And then he went about the school day as if nothing was different. At the end of the day, and as that day progressed, he could observe the children congregating armband colors. Now, he hadn't gave them any directions. He hadn't said, you hang with the blue, hang with the blue, the red, hang with the red. No directions was actually given to him. But he just noticed that they automatically start congregating according to the colors of their armbands. Even ones who were close friends at the day's onset began to speak unkindly to one another. Their behavior began to become so ugly that he ended their experiment early. Because for some reason, they were just turning against each other according to the color of the armband they had on. So we are called to be to new selves in the likeness of God, but attempted to conform instead to other tribes, to make enemies of outsiders. We look down on outsiders. Instead of trying to conform, and we all come together, but we tend to get into little huddles, into groups. And that's not exactly our way that we should be going. We're just like the kids in the middle school. So this certainly isn't just limited to school children. I want you to know, most of us find ourselves continuously and stubbornly tempted to conform in how we dress. We hang with the ones that we think they dress according to the way we dress. Or how we talk. We're more comfortable congregating with those that speak our same language. Or even how we pray. You know, if we go somewhere and we want to congregate with just our congregation. Oh, this is the one for my church. I don't want to go over here and talk to nobody else or get involved. Let them hang together in their group. We hang in our group. We're not limited to just school children. We find that we're tempted to even gossip about those that don't conform. And then we start to keep a distance from them. We try to keep them distance from our lives, from our hearts, all because they may be different, all because something about them may not be with you, all because they may not be as strong as you are in the Lord right now. All because they may not have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior right now. Amen? You think a silver lining of so much pressure to belong to a group would be a tendency to put our community's interests ahead of our own. But in reality, however, it appears that our society is becoming more self-centered
even in the midst of our confirmation of getting to somewhere, we preach the word, we teach the word, we go out into the community, and we tear off the word. You know, after studying everything from psychological tests and to, you know, just rising up for the word I and the word me, researchers have found that the average American is more narcissistic than ever. I. Me. We're just fine and dandy when we're with those that we're comfortable with. But showing the love of Christ is reaching outside of that. Reaching outside of the norm. Can you share your love, the love of God, with those who don't know him? That is different. There's doing some things that you think is despicable. But can you look beyond that behavior and share the love of God that's inside of you? Can you lay aside all of your old stuff, pick up your new stuff, and show the likeness of God to that person that you think is just so out of control? Show the holiness of God to that person who I know is once again asking you to feed them. Can you take them under your wing and teach them how to fish so they not only can feed their own households but reach out and help others? I know it's taking longer than what you thought it should take. I know you're having to do a little bit more than what you're feeling comfortable doing. But you will work your fear and trembling as you're working out your salvation according to Philippians 2 and 12. Who are you? And what are you called to do? What are you called to do? You know, it sounds like crazy to even crave both individuality and then to also crave conforming. But I'd be inclined to believe a person to be driven by only one or other desire, except that I find both in my own heart. I wanted to conform. I also like being individual. You know, I monitor what I say, how I dress. I monitor what I eat. I'm getting better at that. I'm working on that for this year. That is my thing. Monitoring what I eat for fear of other people's opinion. I monitor what I say because of fear of other people's opinion. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings intentionally. I monitor how I dress, fear of other people's opinion. Now, I wear what I like, but I'm not going to just go outside of that realm. And at the same time, I want to stand from the crowd. I want to be myself. Perhaps this isn't an American dilemma as much as a human one, but we want to fit in just as we are rebellious against other things. We still want to fit in. We're constantly, you know, enticed to forge our own path, create your own world. It's one of the slogans from a ball cap manufacturing company. Create your own world. Be uniquely you. Urges a popular other business. I can't think of the name of it. On you, be uniquely you. And that's what's happening around the world today. A lot of times, we're creating our own us. It goes outside of the word of God. We say, I don't care. This is me. This is who I feel comfortable being. And I'm going to be uniquely me. I'm just going to be me. You said, this is me. And I can't be anything else but me. But who are you? Who is God calling you to be? May not be the me that he has for you today. The me that you are today, that's not me, that's the me that you're going to be tomorrow. Stop putting yourself in this little box where I just got to be me. You don't even know who you are. Ask God with the growth that you're giving me, that I'm getting from you, I'm receiving from you, I'm learning from you as you teach me. Who is the new me? And what's the purpose of the life that's inside of the new me? Amen? You know, even your tried and true institutions aren't immune to things we can even look at our military forces. You know, the U.S. Army, unfortunately, Army of One campaign a few years back. You remember that? You aren't somebody. The messengers of culture whispers, you are one. It says we're one unit, but you still got to be a whole. We want to just come before the Lord and just open our hearts up. We want to thank God for all that he's doing. But we have to stop and look around us. Our everyday living is what gets us in trouble. We separate the two. We separate. We don't want to be conformed in a congregation or in a church. We want to be individualized. But yet and still, we don't want to have that unique relationship with Christ. What you think that you have with God right now, he wants so much more. He's yearning for you to come and just receive so much more. We separate our relationship with Christ from the relationship that we carry in life. You will be so disappointed if the relationship that you're given, the time that you're giving God, if the person that you love here, your spouse, your friends, your family, your kids, if they only gave you the time that you give God, would you be satisfied? Would you be happy with that? If you were by yourself and it's only the only company that you were going to have, it's going to be the same time that you spend with God every day. I think some of us would be so lonely that you wouldn't know what to do. You would be miserable. You would go crazy. So that time is not a lot of time at all. The world says to be uniquely and wonderfully ourselves. But God invites us to partake of his wonder. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:24, he said, put on the new self, which is the likeness of God. It's the likeness of God that has been created inside of you through your works, through your teaching, through your learning. But what it does mean also is to put on the new self in the likeness of him. See, not that you can just hold your Bible and let everybody look at you and think that you are this, but it's the worship that you give to God that they see around you. It's his anointing that he places on your life that others may feel as they walk past you, that they feel comfortable to come and lay down and tell you something about that they need prayer about. Because they know, they don't have to know your history, but they can feel God's love. And they know that what they pray to you about, pray with you about, that it's not going to get back out into the street. That it's not going to be turned around and everybody now knows about it. See, God in all of his holiness, God in all of his righteousness, is wanting to clothe you. He's wanting to get you ready to be prepared for another day. Get you ready to be prepared for the new you. For the next time that you think about when you've been pushed and things is getting on your nerves and you feel like this is it, I don't know which way to go, but I just can be me. I'm not happy being somebody else. You know what? Just stand back and ask God, are you forming me? Is this your hand that is pushing me into this uncomfortable zone? If so, believe me, he has it all worked out for you. Many things are uncomfortable until we step through that door and we figure out, whoa, look what's on the other side of here. I can work my way through here. Thank you, Jesus. Let's do this. Again, as I said at the top of the hour, you know, it's been many times as God is working through me. You know, in spite of me, many times, often, as a matter of fact, as he's just working on me, he works in spite of me, in spite of what I think is good for me, in spite of what I think feels good to me, in spite of what I think the outcome is going to be. Sometimes we're our worst enemies. We already put up the end before the beginning, and we just say it's never going to work, and I know me, and no, you don't. You know the facade of you. God has a new you inside of you, ready to be pulled out, ready to be shaken and released in your spirit. God in all of his holiness. God in all of his righteousness. He's waiting for you to just let him do his work inside of you. The God whose force he created all creation. God who is three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How can a person even begin to comprehend such a calling without listening for the answer of God? Without decreasing so he can increase and perhaps show you the new you. You know, the world says, again, to be uniquely and wonderfully yourself. Okay, that's fine. But don't forget to partake in God's wonders. Don't forget that your desires in your heart, as we read, our own desires will turn wicked against us. But we have to pray and ask God that he place his desires inside of us, his desires in our mind, his desires in our spirit. Amen? Well, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for another opportunity just to be with you and just hear from the word as we learn together. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are. Now, if you have moving through your life and you have different things that are helping you out and you feel like that you have the job of your dreams and you may have the house and you may decide that you don't want the house and the spouse. You just want you. But it's still something that is missing. You feel you just feel not completely comfortable. You know, when your health goes bad, money can only do so much. You know, when you need a deliverance from that habit that has just now set itself up on you, you have the money so you can buy more. You can get more prescription drugs. You can always find somebody that will write you that prescription. You have enough money to do that. You have enough money. You can go buy alcohol anytime you want to. You can even pay someone to make sure that all of the liquor cabinets are always completely full. You have the money to do that. You can change cars as often if you want. You can drive what you feel like driving today. You're in a position that you can do that. But what do you do when your health is so? What do you do when that loved one is going just totally all the opposite directions than you that you had set up or you expected for them to take? What do you do then? What do you do when you're down at the jailhouse with that loved one over and over again? When you see your little child or your grown child just sick, there's nothing you can do. They're just sick. There's no cure for what they have. They're just sick. Maybe sick mentally, physically, emotionally. Your money doesn't do anything in those situations. If you have not taken the time to invite Jesus Christ to come live inside of you, come dwell inside of you, I just want to take the time just to offer you the opportunity to come and meet Jesus Christ right where you're at, right where you're at. You know, God is love, and he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent the greatest sign of his love to meet you right in your situation right now. And that sign is Jesus Christ. See, God is the flesh who was born of a virgin, and he lived among men. He was set to pay the price for your sin. And by shedding his blood on the cross, he paid that price. It's already paid. God himself stepped out of heaven into the form of his son, Jesus Christ, just to do this for you. He's paid the price for your sin. And he wants to give you eternal life. That's why he's doing all of this. He said, why would he love me so much? Because he created you. He knows all about you. And he wants to give you eternal life. He wants you to be with him forever and ever and ever. And that feeling that you're trying to get from that liquor bottle, he said, I have a feeling that'll blow your mind. And you don't have to keep on thirsting for it. When you drink of my water, you will thirst no more. That bed that you keep hopping in and out of just for those few moments of pleasure. He said, I have a pleasure that will last you for eternity. Hallelujah. I'm inviting you right now. Come and meet the man who can give you those things, that can place his desires in your heart so deep that you're chased after him, that you're running after him, and you will enjoy it as he does his pleasure of giving you his desires. Hallelujah. Well, he wants to give you eternal life, a life that is filled with faith and filled with peace and joy. And all you have to do is just believe that he has it for you. Believe that he did give his son for you. Believe it in your heart. And then just repeat these words after me. You have to confess your sins before the Lord. Confess that he is Lord in Christ. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. And invite him to come and live inside of you. It's just that simple. So if you believe God Almighty, if you believe that he gave his only begotten son, then just repeat these words after me. Jesus, come live inside my life. Come into my life and take control. Forgive me of all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I want to put off my old self. I want to put on my new self. I want to renew my mind and my spirit. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Receive me in the family of God. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 If you just prayed that prayer, all heaven is shouting and rejoicing with you. In eternity, you're going to be able to meet all of the ones that are just shouting and rejoicing with you right now. You are a new creature in Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us that old things that you've done in your life, old things that's been held over your head, well, now they're passed away. In God's eyes, they are passed away. And it says, behold, all things are become new. You see, again, all of heaven is celebrating. You, my sister and brother, you have a brand new life with Jesus and a future of faith, a future of victory to look forward to, starting right now. I'm talking about eternity, people. Well, if you just prayed this prayer, I just invite you to reach out and just let me know of your decision to follow Christ. Tell others of your decisions to follow Christ. Let's pray together. Let's find a Bible teaching church in your area that God has just for you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, my name is Minister Von Dumas, and I broadcast live here from San Antonio, Texas. Well, remember our powerful focus tips today. Journal what you're doing. Write a letter to God daily. Try moving around as you pray if necessary. And pray with a prayer partner. Find a prayer partner, even if you have to Skype them. Pray at the same time with them. Get together with a prayer partner. I'll be more than happy to be your prayer partner. How is that? Evangelist Von Dumas, signing off. Saying I love you, but God loves you more. Goodbye.